If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, where would we be now? Is it not God who was for us? Is it not God who fought for us? Our help is in the name of the Lord. These are the words of Psalm 124. And they are so deep that I am sure we could spend a lot of time just considering these words. However, this morning we are just going to take a glimpse at this psalm. So please, let's open our Bibles in Psalm 124. 1, 2, 4. And this is a beautiful psalm. This is a beautiful pilgrimage psalm. It is one of the psalms of the Ascents. They are from 120 to 134. And they are called that because these psalms were sung by the Israelites as they made their way up to Jerusalem to celebrate the annual feast, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. So in the times of the Old Testament, the journey of the Jewish pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem was a vivid spectacle, rich with cultural significance and spiritual devotion. From the farthest reaches of the land, they would come drawn by the sacred call of the holy city, Jerusalem, the heart of their faith. Families, young and old, embarked on the hard journey. They traveled in caravans for weeks, finding strength and comfort in their shared purpose. Along the way, they exchanged stories and songs. Their voices with rhythmic cadence of their march. Each step bore the weight of tradition, echoing the footsteps of the ancestors who had made the same pilgrimage generations before. They crossed rocky terrain, crossing valleys, climbing hills, their spirits undiscouraged by the challenges of the wilderness. The promise of Jerusalem beckoned like a beacon in the distance, guiding their weary souls toward the sacred sanctuary. So you can imagine all the cousins, uncles, parents, grandparents, children, all getting together to make this trip to Jerusalem. And these days of the year would have been well planned and surely had a special motivation for the Israelites. They were walking and singing together as one, remembering and praising God for all the wonderful things He had done for them and their nation. Singing these psalms helped them to express their fears, needs, and aspirations. And singing was a wonderful way to remember God's favor in their lives. I can imagine these families walking up and singing together, remembering God's great acts of deliverance in their lives. Perhaps while they were walking up to Jerusalem, they were saying to each other, "Do you remember the story when God opened the Red Sea? Do you remember the story of the return from Babylonian captivity? Do you remember the deliverance in the days of Nehemiah when our enemies were ready to swallow up our nation? Do you remember the mighty work that God did in driving back the Assyrians?" Perhaps they were just speaking about the totality of God's mighty works for Israel. Events worthy of commemoration. Stories that are not foreign to us because they are all family stories. They belong to us as well. So So Psalm 124 is about remembering God's great deliverance. And it is very easy to get into this psalm because it speaks from an individual perspective. The author, who might be King David, is telling a story of a great escape. And his description is very human, very vivid, very emotive. The author tells every detail of the danger and the liberation. He describes emotions, thoughts, feelings. And I'm sure every Christian can identify himself in this story. So let's read Psalm 124. We are going to read verse 1 to verse 5 first. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. The first impression is that the psalm opens like a kind of gasp, spoken by one who has just escaped from grave danger, arriving in some safe place and gasping out to those present what has happened. And he just manages to say, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, where would I be now? And it is not in vain that the author repeats twice the phrase, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, because he recognizes from the bottom of his heart that the only way to be rescued, the only way to be liberated, the only way to stay alive was if God was for him. And perhaps you have been in this place in your life. When you know that you are still alive or safe, just because God was there with you at that critical moment. And this is what this psalm wants to convey. The idea of someone being rescued in the last very minute from death. The idea that there would be no one else who could achieve such salvation. The idea that this had been a miracle that only God could achieve. Because the psalmist describes that the danger involved was a deadly one. The nation could have been swallowed alive. So great was the enemy's anger in those moments. And the author describes it like a raging flood or a flash flood in a typically dry mountain of Palestine. Such floods come so suddenly and rise so swiftly that there is no time to escape. So the figures here seem to be the steadily rising flood and the horridly rushing stream. Who can stand these two such mighty powers? These proud forces destroy everything. These forces spare nothing. They are like a torrent that drowns life, drowns souls, drowns hope. It is that kind of torrent that pulls you down without a hope for survival. Israel knew that their enemies were like these forces. They knew that the situation was frustrating. They knew that they were hopeless. And they also knew that only God could save them. Their enemies were so eager for their destruction that they would have swallowed them up alive and whole in a single act. They wanted the total destruction of God's chosen. And listen to this, dear friends. Anger is never more ardent than when the people of God become its target. The violent enemy's wrath is like a fire which is kindled and sparks easily into flames. The violent people say, "Let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit." So the psalmist illustrated perfectly how complex and grave the danger was at that moment. It was a crucial moment, a twinkling of life or death, certainly the darkest hour. But in the darkest hour, the Lord appears. And when he appears, fire cannot destroy anymore. When the Lord arises, there is salvation. In fact, it is only because the Lord lives that his people are alive. The Israelites were certain that if it was not the Lord who saves, then who? No one else would be near to save them from destruction. No one else would have been capable of saving them, where there was no chance for salvation. They realized that only God could have saved them from situations of death. They understood that nothing but God's power and wisdom could have protected them. "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." So the families are friends, and friends are singing this psalm together while walking up to Jerusalem. They are remembering difficult times, remembering oppressions, worries, alarm, uncertainty, remembering that the nation was about to be destroyed, but also remembering the powerful hand of the Lord, rescuing them, saving them, giving them hope and life. And surely, they were thinking about the whole process, from suffering to gladness, from agony to peace, from misery to victory. And as a result of this thinking, because of this meditation, they explode into joy of heart. They explode in emotion and gratitude. They explode in praise to the Lord. And they sing this, verse 6 to 8. "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." You know, when we cannot cope, when we cannot handle a difficult situation anymore, when we are at the end of our tether, and we remember that God is with us, then it comes naturally to offer thanksgiving for God's intervention. We remember the Lord is our light and our salvation. "Whom shall I we fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So the Israelites are so thankful that God did not permit their enemies to destroy them. Because if you see verse 6, they saw themselves in the jaw of the beast who was ready to devour them. They were already in its teeth. What a graphic description, don't you think? They were in urgent danger. The Israelites saw themselves as a bird, weak and foolish, who was trapped in the snare of the fowlers and completely at their mercy, an impossible escape. But God rescued them. He did not permit the wild beast to tear them apart, and God broke the snare. They escaped from the fowlers. Their souls escaped from destruction. Psalm 91:3-4 says this, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler." So Israel knew something very, very important. They knew that they escaped not by their skills or their cunning, but by God's mercy. The Israelites understood very well that no one could harm them unless God permitted it. They knew that the only one who could give them over as prey was the Lord. Israel knew that their enemies had no power against them, but the power that was given to them from above. So they couldn't be prey unless God gave them up, and God didn't. And the same applies to us. God will protect us. In verse 1 and 2 are two ifs. And yet there is no if in the matter, because God became their ally. God sided with them, making the if irrelevant. But what about you? What about you, dear friend? Have you been in that kind of situation where you were in the jaw of the beast? Can you remember God's deliverances in your life? Let me tell you something. In an age of information and trending topics, the present can seem more relevant than the past. While all the advancing technologies, it can be easy to think that the past represents a step backwards. But from biblical perspective, our past is very important because it reminds us that we were not alone when we were going through difficulties. When we remember God's deliverances in our life, we are encouraged to trust Him in our present. He has been there with us in the past, and He will be with us in the present. We can't rely on Him. God has given us grace to go through many difficulties in our past. He will give us grace in the present and in the future to persevere until the end. We can trust God. We can trust God when life is tough. He will give us the power to rejoice in trials and overcome the world. And I know that life is draining. We soon become depleted mentally, emotionally, and physically. And that is the nature of living life in a fallen world. It is full of uphills, climbs, obstacles to overcome, winds to endure, and the scorching sun that leaves us feeling empty. And at times, we grow so weary that we want to pull over and stop running. But the race of life demands that we keep moving forward. We cannot stop. There are no yellow caution flags to stop this race. No pit stops. Just the daily routine. But we are not alone in this. We are not alone in this race. God gives us His grace that enables us to keep going despite the struggles. God strengthens us in every situation, whether we overcome it or not, to be content in that situation without anxiety or fear that he has abandoned us. So yes, the bad news is that we will have tribulation. But thanks be to God, there is also good news. We can take heart, for our Christ has overcome the world. So when challenges arise, we should turn to God in prayer, seeking his assistance and rescue. And there are two primary patterns of God's deliverance in the Scripture that it is very important to know. Firstly, in what we can term type A, a threat emerges against God's people. They beseech God for help, and he intervenes, removing the threat. However, there exists a second pattern, type B, where a threat looms over God's people. They implore God for deliverance, yet the threat persists, and they endure its consequences. The promise of deliverance is held for a later time, after the current calamity has passed. Both patterns are biblical. It is God who decides to intervene immediately or not to intervene at all for the moment. Nevertheless, the Lord's ultimate intentions for his people will be realized. Even in type B scenarios, there is a type A resolution. Our compassionate God will ultimately fulfill his redemptive purposes for his people. So we can praise the Lord for his intervention. We are going through challenging times, whether he brings instant deliverance or whether that deliverance is in the future. Remember, God will use everything, everything for your good. But I think the big question for many is this: where did you turn amid great suffering or trouble? Do you seek to escape it by your own cleverness? Do you complain to others that life is not fair? Dear friends, for believers, there is only one place, or more appropriately, one person to turn to. When we are struggling, we have to go with our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we have done nothing to deserve abuse, or whether we have earned our suffering by our sins or bad judgment, we are to run to our Father. Dear friend, our confidence in every trial, present and to come, must be only in the name of the Lord, not in money, not in the government, not in friends. God is first, because God's promises are the foundation of our confidence. He is our strength and shield. He is our fort and our strong tower. Understanding God's promises for the future provides a solid foundation to which you can secure your hope. God's promises for the future are a shield with which you can deflect your doubts and fears for tomorrow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It is he who made heaven and earth, the creator, the preserver. All that has been created is the work of his hands. Nothing is impossible for him. He can deliver when there is no escape. He can break the snare of the fowler. He can control all situations that arise. He has proved it many times in history and in your life. We can trust him. And let me tell you something. if you are a believer, if you believe in Christ, in the end, everything will be fine. And if it is not fine now, it is because it is not the end. So I'm sure that Psalm 124 gave the pilgrims such confidence for the future, knowing that God would be with them as he was with their people through generations. And this beautiful psalm is not irrelevant to us. We are pilgrims as well. And the language possesses a pleasing universality, making it an appropriate anthem for God's children, regardless of era or situation. Because we still live in a hostile world. The church would have been completely devastated if God had not restrained evil and destroyed its enemies. The theologian Augustine of Hippo says this about the Christians of the early church. He says, "Listen to their voices saying, unless the Lord were among us, unless he had helped us, unless he had strengthened our hearts with faith, unless he had endowed us with patience, unless he had provided us with power as we fought, they would perhaps have swallowed us alive." I wonder how many times have so many brothers and sisters sung Psalm 124 throughout the history of the church. How many times have they sung, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side." The church has resisted every oppression, every persecution, every threat, just because God has been there all the time. His faithfulness has been interminable. His mighty hand has been with us continuously. He has never failed and never will. In the year 1852, this psalm was sung on a remarkable occasion in Edinburgh. The writer Andrew A. Bonar describes it like this. He says, "An imprisoned minister, John Dewey, had been set free and was met and welcomed on entering the town by 200 of his friends. The number increased until he found himself amid a company of 2,000, who began to sing as they moved up the long high street. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side," they sang in four parts with deep solemnity, all joining in the well-known tune and psalm. They were much moved themselves, and so were all who heard. And one of the chief persecutors, he said, "To have been more alarmed at this sight and song than at anything he had seen in Scotland." Dear friend, God is on the side of his people. The love and relationship he has with us engage him to be so. He supports us in our trials. He keeps us by his power. He preserves us from all our enemies, even our last enemy, death. So yes, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Yes, Christian life is tough, but we are not alone. Has God not been with us in every trial? Has God not been with us in our darkest hour? Has God not been with us when our enemies wanted to hurt us? We shouldn't doubt his faithfulness. And I am sure that you, brother, sister, have hundreds of memories where God has been on your side. When you couldn't cope with some situation, God was there. And I am sure you have hundreds of memories where God has been your deliverance, even when you have made wrong decisions. If we remember now all our struggles in life, we will see that God has used everything for our good and that he has been on our side all the time. Otherwise, how could we stand now? If it were not because God gave us physical and spiritual nourishment and shelter, where would we be now? And not only has God protected our possessions, but also our soul, our faith, our courage, and our hope. And we are not saved only from external and physical problems, but we have been saved from something much worse, from eternal damnation, from an eternity without God. If Jesus had not died in our place, taking our punishment upon himself, we would be under God's just wrath and judgment. And who would be able to stand? If Jesus had not died in our place, we would be desperately helpless, hopeless. But Jesus did die in our place, and his wonderful mercy have overcome sin and death. Our resurrected King defeated the cross. Our resurrected King defeated this world. And one day, he will come back for us. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is a beautiful hymn that says this: "If it wasn't for your mercy, if it wasn't for your love, if it wasn't for your kindness, how could I stand? If it wasn't for your cleansing, if it wasn't for your blood, if it wasn't for your goodness, how could I stand? And yet I find myself again where even angels fear to tread, where I would never dare to come but for the cleansing of your blood." Remember, God is our help. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He knows everything. We can trust him. He's the only one sufficient for us in our weakness. We can rest on him. He cares for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for God is with us. Dear friends, we look to the past and affirm the Lord has helped us. We look to the present and emphasize the Lord is my help, even this very day. And we look to the future and affirm the Lord will be my help forever.